Film premieres. They're the most glamorous events in all of show business. And I don't know if anyone here this morning has ever been to a film premiere. But as Naomi and I found out earlier, if you ever go to a film premiere, a red carpet event, there are some pretty important things you need to remember. And I thought maybe we should just run through them this morning, just in case any of us ever get to go to a special glitzy red carpet event. And to help us think about the first one, I need a volunteer. Is anybody willing to come and help me? Eleanor, do you want to run down quickly, nice and quick? Because we've got these very expensive looking film awards here on the stage. And they're going to help us think about the things that we must remember if we ever go to a red carpet event. Do come up, Eleanor, and I would like you to help us by turning round this top film award and show us what is on the other side. Okay, do you want to bring it over here, Eleanor? Bring the top box over here and come and show us. What have we got here? We've got an eye, haven't we? And that helps us to remember that if you ever go to a red carpet event, you've got to remember what you're looking out for. You've got to remember what to see. Thanks, Eleanor. That's really helpful. Please take a seat. Now, I wonder if anybody can say that with me. If you ever go to a red carpet event, you've got to remember what to see. I'm sure we can do that a little bit louder. Got to do the actions as well. You've got to remember what to see. And what's helpful there is because in that passage that we were thinking about earlier, well, it's also a bit of a red carpet event, isn't it? Naomi and I got ourselves in so much trouble when we missed the first film star because we didn't know who we had to see. But what I want us to do this morning is, as we try and think about this red carpet event that we find in the Bible, it's a red carpet event because we've got an important person, right? We've got Jesus who's claiming to be God's king. And he's arriving in Jerusalem, which is God's special city, God's special place at that time. And he's coming for an important purpose. As we try and get to grips with that red carpet event, I want us to try and imagine that we were there that day. And to help us do that, we need to think about our first question. If we were there in Jerusalem that day, what was it that we were meant to see? Now, what I'd like us to do is grab one of those Bibles. Hopefully, you've still got it open when Naomi read our passage for us. You're going to need this to help us as we make our way through our talk this morning. And I'm going to read us the first seven verses. And as I read the first seven verses, I want you to think and see if you can remember, if you had been there, what were you meant to see? And then we're going to have a little chat with the people around us to see if we can work it out. So, page 1015, big number 11. And the heading, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany and at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Okay, so remember our question? If you were there that day, what was it that you were meant to see? Have a chat with the people around you just for a minute or two and see if you can work it out. What was it that you were meant to see? Okay, I hope you're having lots of good conversation. What was our question? Our question was, if you'd been there that day at that red carpet event, what was it that you were meant to see? And I don't know what people were saying, but as I've been studying this passage this week, the thing that's jumped out to me was that if I'd been there that day, one of the big things I was meant to see was Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on a baby donkey. There's lots of talk in this passage, isn't there, about baby donkeys or colts. That's another name for them. So for example, verse 2, Jesus tells these disciples to go off to the next village. And he tells them that even though Jesus hasn't been there, he knows that when they go there, they're going to find a baby donkey. And it's amazing because when those disciples do go to the next village, well, that's exactly what they find. Jesus even tells them what people are going to ask them and what they should say back. That's just amazing, isn't it? Think about Jesus. He can kind of see the future. He knows about things even when he's not there. And then we hear more about how the donkey was untied. It was brought back to Jesus. And then verse 7, people took their coats, put it over the saddle of the donkey, and Jesus sat on it. If we had been there, the big thing we were meant to see was Jesus on a baby donkey. And I don't know about you, but that gets me scratching my head because it makes me think, why? Why would Jesus choose to arrive on a baby donkey? Think about some of the things that people normally arrive in when they go to a red carpet event. It might be an impressive car, a fast motorbike. But Jesus, he didn't decide to arrive on a horse or even like a big Roman chariot. But he chose to arrive on a baby donkey. Why would Jesus choose to arrive like that? That got me scratching my head this morning. It's an interesting question, isn't it? And it's actually a question that takes us right back in time. It takes us back to the days of the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, we learn that God was preparing for Jesus to come. And about 500 years before Jesus came, he sent a man called Zechariah. That's an unusual name. Can everybody say that out loud together? Zechariah. Let's say it again, one more time. Zechariah. And God sent Zechariah with this special message. And let me read you a little bit of Zechariah's special message and see if anything seems familiar about what we're thinking about this morning. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Listen in really carefully. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So why did Jesus choose to come into Jerusalem not riding on a horse or a Roman chariot, but on a donkey? Well, it's because as Jesus was riding in, he wanted people to see that king that God had promised all those years before, it was him. Jesus wanted people to see that Jesus was God's king. So, what is it, the first thing we've got to remember? If we ever go to a red carpet event, can anybody remember what we've got to remember? We've got to remember who we need to see. But there's a second thing we need to remember. And I need another volunteer now. Anybody else want to come and help me? Feel free to put up your hand. Imani, do you want to come up and help me and turn round our next award? Come up onto the platform, Imani, and we're going to turn round our next award. Can you pick up that box, turn it round, and come and show everybody what's on the front? Come and lift it up and bring it over here. Brilliant. I want you to hold it up as high as you can, top of your arms, big up, nice and high, so everybody can see. Because the second thing you've got to remember when you go to a red carpet event is what you've got to do. Thank you very much, Imani. That's really helpful. Go and have a seat. You've got to remember what you've got to do. And Naomi, that was a big mistake that she made earlier, wasn't it? When Gravity Apple, her favorite film star, came up onto the platform, she just got so excited and she forgot what she needed to do. Instead of asking Gravity a good question so the people on the TV screens could see, well, she just got excited. She asked for a autograph, then she asked for a hug, and she got pen all over her dress. It was a complete disaster. And here's the next question for us to think about together. If we had been in Jerusalem that day, what was it that we needed to do? So have a chat with the people around you. You might want to have specifically look at the little number 8, verse 8. Have a chat just for a second with people around you. We thought about what we need to see. What was it that we needed to do? Okay, have a chat with the person around you. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about with the people around you. We thought about what we were going to see, and now we're thinking about what we had to do. And particularly we were thinking about verse 8. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now we need a bit of help, I think, to kind of recreate a little bit of the atmosphere of that red carpet event that first Easter. Put your hand up if you've got a spare coat lying around with you. Anybody got a spare coat? And anybody got a palm branch? Anybody just happen to have a palm branch in their hands? Well, why don't we come down and start spreading them on our red carpet? Please come down if you're upstairs, or if you're down here in the lower part of the church. Come and bring your palm branches, any spare coats. I'm going to take my jacket off. Going to put it down on the red carpet here. Let's recreate some of the mood that we would have seen if we'd have been there with Jesus that day. Yeah, we got a few coats and jackets. Anybody else want to bring down a palm branch? Recreate some of the atmosphere. Excellent. I still think I can see a few more palm branches up in the balcony upstairs. It's good for everybody to get involved. Oh, in fact, I didn't realise our church family was so fashionable. This is quite a collection down here. If we had been there that day, at that red carpet event, well, one of the things we had to do was to put down our coats and palm branches, say if we didn't have a spare coat, and we put our palm branches down on the red carpet. And the thing for us to remember is, you see, people in those days didn't do that for anybody. A little bit like a red carpet. You don't put down a red carpet for everybody. No, as we read through the Old Testament, as we read through all of those stories that prepare us for the coming of Jesus, well, we see that people only did this for the most important person. This was the type of thing that they would do for God's king. I want to tell you a story. I went once to a city called Edinburgh. It's in a place called Scotland, right at the north of Great Britain. And one day I was walking along one of the big streets in Edinburgh. I had my map out. I was a visitor. I didn't really know where I was going. So I had my map out and I had my head down walking along this busy street. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw something. Do you know what I saw? I saw a red carpet. Out of a really big and impressive old building came this flowing red carpet. And do you know what the first question was that came through my head? I'm sure it's the same question that would come through everybody's head in this room. Who is it that's coming? Who is it that's coming? And I can tell you, if we had been on the outskirts of Jerusalem that day, and we had seen these coats lie down on the ground, and these palm branches, we would have asked, who is it that's coming? Who is it that's coming? And I can tell you, it wouldn't have been long before we found out. And that brings us to the third thing we've got to remember if we ever go to a red carpet event. I need one more volunteer. One more volunteer. Ethan. Yeah, can you come down nice and quick? Top speed. Holding onto the handrail. So we thought, haven't we, that if you're at a red carpet event, the first thing you've got to remember is what you've got to see. The second thing, what is it? What we've got to do. Now, Ethan, come and turn round our final award. Turn round the box, bring it to the front, hold it up nice and high so everybody can see. Wow. We've got a pair of lips. The third thing we need to remember when we're at a red carpet event, do you want to put it on that one? Is what you've got to say. That's brilliant. Thank you, Ethan. So we've got to remember what you've got to see, what you've got to do, and finally, what you've got to say. And oh dear, Naomi, it didn't go well earlier, did it? When Vex Zane came up the red carpet and, well, obviously Naomi just had a bit of a problem with Vex Zane and some of the characters that he'd played. Instead of asking him a good question that would open up the discussion, maybe given Vex Zane opportunity to talk about his latest film, well, she said the wrong thing, didn't she? Oh, and it was so embarrassing. And that helps us to think about the final thing. If we had been in Jerusalem that day, the question we need to think about is, what is it that we should have said? So have a chat with the people around you just for a minute or so. Just have a look now, particularly at verses 9 and 10. Have a chat with the person next to you. What is it that we were meant to say? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. These are special words, aren't they? These are the words that people were saying as Jesus was riding in on the donkey into Jerusalem. People in front of him, people behind him. This is what people were shouting. And like with the donkey, and like with the clothes and the palm branches, these words which people were shouting, well, they weren't random. They weren't made up. They weren't making it up off the top of their head as they went along. Now, because these were words which God's people in the Old Testament said year after year, month after month, maybe even week after week. And do you know why they said them? They said them to help them remember what God had promised them. They would say them to help them remember that God had promised them that he would send them his king. So as we zoom out with our TV camera as it were, and we start putting together the pieces of the puzzle. We've got this donkey, right? That's what we were meant to see. And we've got these palm branches and our jackets on the floor. That's what we were meant to do. And then these words, Hosanna, coming King of David, highest heaven. That's what we were meant to say. As we put these pieces of the puzzle together, do you see what they help us to see about Jesus? They help us to see that Jesus really is God's King. Jesus is God's King. We're now going to all stand together and sing a song about that and remind us of what Jesus did as God's King. And then we're going to come back in a few minutes later and think about what Jesus being God's King, what difference that makes to our lives. Please stand as the music starts.
Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one and Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one we kind of call. Jesus, Jesus, He is the King. He is the King. He commanded the fish and the fish, come follow me, and they did. And they did, and they did, because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised on the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one we can know. Jesus, Jesus, He is the King, He is the King. He commanded the evil one, saying, hey, come out of him. And they did, and they did, and they did. Cause Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, Father, Son, and Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one who can be called. Jesus, Jesus, He's the King. The King. He commanded the wind and the waves, hey, be still, be still. And they did, and they did, and they did. Because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised by the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one.
Please do sit down. That's a great song, isn't it? It's a great song because it reminds us that Jesus is the King. But if Jesus is the King, what difference should it make to you and to me? That's a good question, isn't it? And it's a good question because the Bible tells us that if we recognize Jesus as King, if we love Him as King, well, that should start working its way out into how we live. Into how we see and what we do and what we say. Let's think about that first one, what we see. We do lots of seeing every day, don't we, with our eyes. The people that we might bump into. Maybe we watch some TV, perhaps we read books. We do lots of seeing with our eyes each day. So what difference does Jesus being God's King do to what we see? I reckon there are loads of answers to that question. And if you want a challenge, perhaps on your way home from church this afternoon, if you're going on the bus or walking or in the car, if you're traveling with people, maybe have a think about that. Maybe see if you can get 10 ways that Jesus being King changes what we see. And if you want to do that challenge, here's the first one for you. Here's one I thought about this week. If Jesus is king, we should look at him. Shouldn't we? Think about what happened with me and Naomi over there. When we were going around trying to remind ourselves of all the important things we needed to remember for our filming for the red carpet event. But why was it that we missed our first film star? Well, it's because we didn't have our eyes open, did we? We didn't have our eyes looking in the right direction. And we can do a similar thing with Jesus. Each day, we want to see Jesus. And you might be thinking, hang on a minute, James, how does that work? Because hasn't Jesus, if Easter's true, right, Jesus is raised, he's ascended, he's now sat at the right hand of his Father in heaven. How on earth can we see Jesus? Well, here is the magical thing. When we open the Bible and God's Spirit works inside of us, did you know that's actually better than if we'd been in Jerusalem that day? That's what the Bible says. As we read the Bible and God's Spirit works inside of us, opens our eyes to see who Jesus is, that's even better than if we'd been in Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. Now, let me give you just one way of seeing Jesus each day as we open the Bible. Let me tell you what we do in our family. When we eat together as a family, so kind of morning and evening, we like to read a bit of the Bible together. And we're not very ambitious as a family. So what we do is we take one verse in the Bible, and in that verse, we pick one word. And we talk with each other about what it tells us about Jesus. Normally we take a book of the Bible, normally like a short book. Recently we did the book of Titus. We just take a verse each day, pick one word, and think about what it shows us about Jesus. Now, in your house, you might be able to do a little bit more than that. We've got some quite small people in our house, so that's the level we're at the moment. And that's working great for us. Because that King Jesus changes what we see. But if that's what we see then, what is it that we do? How is it that Jesus changes what we do? Because Naomi, she got herself in all sorts of trouble earlier, didn't she? When Gravity Apple, her favorite film star, came up, well, she forgot what to do. And what mistake was it that Naomi made? It wasn't that she didn't see who Gravity was, did she? She saw Gravity very clearly. She knew exactly who Gravity was, her favorite film star. But what Naomi forgot, well, she thought she could be all matey with Gravity, didn't she? She forgot that Gravity is like one of the most important film stars in the world. Gravity in the world of film was almighty. Naomi was trying to be almighty when really she should have recognized Gravity was almighty. And we can do a similar thing with Jesus, can't we? So let's say somebody does something that we don't like. Well, often we want to go over and try and fight, don't we? And what is it that causes us to do that? I think often it's because we think, oh, Jesus, we know it's not right, but oh, Jesus, we're friends with Jesus. He'll let us off. He'll forgive us anyway. We think we can be almighty with Jesus, but we're forgetting Jesus is God's king. We can't be almighty. We have to remember that he's almighty. King Jesus affects what we see. He affects what we do. And finally, he affects what we say. Because of course, it's not just what we do that can hurt other people. It's also what they say to us, isn't it? We might have had that experience ourselves. Somebody says words which really cut us, really hurt us. Some children, you might not know about this, but a couple of weeks ago, a pretty famous and important thing happens at a red carpet ceremony 2 weeks ago this day. Anybody hear about it? A very famous actor, an actor called Will Smith, when he came down the red carpet, is an amazing event. Women in glamorous, beautiful dresses, men in the sharpest suits, the thickest red carpet you've ever seen. And this actor, Will Smith, he was sat in the audience while the presenter was about to present one of the awards. And that presenter said something about Will Smith's wife that he didn't like. And do you know what Will Smith's response was? Well, he started saying all these harsh things. He started saying mean words about this presenter. He started swearing. In fact, he got so angry, his heart got so hot, that he came up that red carpet and he hit him in the face. We often find ourselves in that sort of situation, don't we? There might not be all the glamour of the dresses and the suits and the red carpet, but in the playground, in the back of a car, in the supermarket queue, people do things which we don't like, and our words are, we want to cut people to the heart. But as we finish this morning, I just want to show you that Jesus isn't like that. Have a look down with me to the final verse of our passage. You might have thought that I was about to miss it off. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That's a bit of a strange thing for Jesus to do, isn't it? He's just kind of come into Jerusalem on the donkey, with the coats and the palm branches, with people singing his praises, shouting that he's God's long-promised king. We might expect Jesus to go into the temple, start throwing his weight around, start telling people what to do. You here, do that, do there. But Jesus looks around and he leaves the city again. Why did he do that? That's pretty unexpected. Because the thing about Easter is, as Jesus goes on over the next week leading up to Easter, Jesus is going to do some other pretty unexpected things. In fact, he's going to leave from the center of Jerusalem with all the temple and the palace and all the people, and he's going to walk out of that city again. Not on a red carpet, but with a cross. You know, as Jesus hung there on the cross, taking the punishment for all of the times we've used our eyes badly, used our hands and our mouths badly, taking the punishment for that rebellion against him, as he hung there, did you know what? People said some pretty horrible things about him too. They were laughing and joking and sniggering at him. And do you know what Jesus' response was? It wasn't to swear. It wasn't to start hurling abuse. It wasn't to walk up a red carpet and hit somebody in the face. No, Jesus' response was to look to the sky and say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Friends, this is Jesus. This is our King. This is God's long-promised King.